Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 16. Lord Parasaram destroys the ruling class. We're going to start with text 29, and we may go all the way to the end of the chapter. So, text 29. Vishamritasya Chaivasan Putra Eka Satam Nripa Madhyamas Tu Madhuchanda Madhuchandasa Eva Te Vishami Trasya Chaivasan Putra Eka Shatam Nripa Madhyamastu Madhuchanda Madhuchandasa Evate Vishami Trasya Chaivasan Putra Eka Shatam Nripa Madhyamastu Madhuchanda Madhuchandasa Evate Vishami Trasya Chaivasan Putra Eka Shatam Nripa Madhyamastu Madhuchanda Madhuchandasa Evate Matrasya Ramsya Varikashatam Nipa Manimastu Madhusanda Swami Trasya Chaivasam Nirvam Sangha Nirvam Sangha Nirvam Vaishnavis Swami Trasya Chaivasam Vishamitrasya of Vishramrita. Cha, also. Eva, indeed. Asa, there were. Putraha, sons. Ekashatam, 101. Nripa, O King Parikshit. Madhyamaha, the middle one. Two, indeed. Maruchandaha, known as Maruchanda. Maruchandasaha, named the Maruchandas. Eva, indeed. Te, all of them. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O King Parikshit, Vishvamritra had 101 sons, of whom the middle one was known as Madhuchanda. In relation to him, all the other sons were celebrated as the Madhuchandas. Please repeat. O King Parikshit, Vishvamritra had 101 sons, was known as Madhuchanda. In relation to him, all the other sons were celebrated as the Madhuchandas. Purport. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this statement from the Vedas. Tasyaha vitramasyaika shatam putra asu panchashat eva jayam sho maruchandasa panchashat kaniyamam sham. Quote, Vishvamritra had 101 sons. 50 were older than Madhuchanda and 50 younger. End quote. Text 30. Putram kritva shunachepam devavratam cha devaratam cha bhargavam ajigartam sutan aha jeshta esha prakalpyatam. Translation. Vishvamritra accepted the son of Ajigarta, known as Shunachepa, who was born in the Bhrigu dynasty and was also known as Devarata, as one of his own sons. Vishvamritra ordered his other sons to accept Shunachepa as their eldest brother. Text 31. Yavai Harishchandra Make Vikrita Purusha Pashahu Stutva Devan Prajeshadin Mumuche Pashabandhanat. Translation. Shunachepa's father sold Shunachepa to be sacrificed as a man animal in the yajna of King Harishchandra. When Shunachepa was brought into the sacrificial arena, he prayed to the demigods for release and was released by their mercy. Purport. Here is a description of Shunachepa. When Harishchandra was to sacrifice his son Rohita, Rohita arranged to save his own life by purchasing Shunachepa from Shunachepa's father to be sacrificed in the yajna. Shunachepa was sold to Maharaj Harishchandra because he was the middle son between the oldest and the youngest. It appears that the sacrifice of a man as an animal in yajna has been practiced for a very long time. Om Jnana Timaranda Sya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, this purport is referring to events that are described earlier in this canto. We learned earlier in the ninth canto that Maharaj Harishchandra needed a son. Although he had wives, he didn't have a son. So Narada Muni advised him to worship the demigod Varuna in order to get the son he desired. So he went to Varuna and to kind of to offer what he thought would be an inducement for Varuna to give him this son. He said, and if you give me this son, I will sacrifice him to you. So, Varuna gave him the benediction of a son. One of his wives became pregnant. So Varuna waited patiently until the child was born, and then he went to Harishchandra and said, okay, you promised to sacrifice the child to me. Let's do it. And Harishchandra at that point said, well, you know, now that he had the son, the child, he was not very willing to give it up. So he proposed on the basis of some Vedic understanding that an offering can't be made until the animal, in this case, the child, was at least 10 days old. So Varuna waited for 10 days to pass, and then he came again to Harishchandra and said, okay, now it's 10 days old, we can do it, the sacrifice. And at that point, Harishchandra said, well, no, it's more proper to wait until the animal, in this case the child, has teeth, till the teeth come in. So Varuna waited patiently until the teeth had come in to the child, and then he said, okay, now the teeth are there, we can perform the sacrifice now. And then Harishchandra said, no, it's more proper that we wait until the teeth fall out. So he waited very, very patiently, and finally, the teeth fell out. And he said, now we can perform the sacrifice. And Harishchandra said, no, it's more proper. Probably he was citing some Vedic mantras or something. Yeah, that no, we have to wait until the teeth grow back in. So Varuna waited very patiently until the teeth had grown back in, you know, the second set of teeth. And he said, now can we perform the sacrifice? And Harishchandra said, well, it's more proper to wait until the child has grown and he's attained his varna, in this case a kshatriya, and he's able to perform the function of a kshatriya. So the child's name was Rohita. And you know, he was thinking, how is this going to end? You know, it's not going to be able to go on forever like this. Probably eventually they're going to sacrifice me. So he ran away out into the forest. And in the forest, he met this sage, Ajigarta, who had three sons. And Ajigarta was actually quite poor, so he was able to convince him he wanted to purchase one of the sons for 100 cows. And some of these details are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Other details are given in other shastras like the Aitareya Brahmana and the Linga Purana and others. But Ajigarta agreed to take the 100 cows for one of his sons, but he was very attached to the eldest son, and the mother was attached to the youngest son, so they decided to give the middle son, Chuna Chepa, as an exchange for the 100 cows. So Rohita went back with this Chuna Chepa, and you know, to be offered in his place. You know, Harishchandra agreed to that, and Varuna also agreed to that. But at the last moment, as described in the purport here, Chuna Chepa prayed to the demigods, and they agreed to spare his life. So in the end, nobody was sacrificed. And you know, I did a little research. There is in the Yajurveda a sacrifice called Purusha Medha. Yeah, there's some sacrifice in which a human is offered, but it's kind of like what we hear about the animal sacrifices in the Vedas. When they were properly performed during the proper yuga, when they were supposed to be performed, they were, although the animal was sacrificed, it was given a new body immediately, so that there wasn't really any damage to the animal that was being sacrificed. They immediately, by the power of the brahmanas, were given new bodies. So, in terms of this Purusha Medha, it's stated in the Shatapatha Brahmana that it was a fire sacrifice, and that as soon as the fire was lit and brought up to the sacrifice, the person would be released. It wouldn't be. But apparently, you know, just like sometimes these animal sacrifices were misunderstood, and you know, animals were really killed just for the sake of getting meat and things like that, you know, the people were misusing the sacrifices, and that's According to Srila Prabhupada, one of the reasons why Lord Buddha incarnated, to stop those sacrifices that were being misused to kill animals for the sake of eating their flesh. So in some cases, we can see that these human sacrifices were misused. And just like we see in the fifth canto, the story of Judd Bharat. Of course, in his previous life, he was Maharaj Bharata, and he had been engaged in meditation, but he was distracted by a deer and began thinking and becoming attached to this young deer. And because of that, he had to take a birth as a deer, and then in the next birth as Judd Bharata, who was born in a Brahmin family, but behaved as if he were deaf and dumb and unintelligent. So, and his brothers, you know, they would just use him for the most menial kinds of work. They would put him out in the field. So on one occasion, we learn in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there were some dacoits. This one leader of the dacoits, he wanted a son, so he was going to sacrifice a man-animal, an unintelligent human being, to the goddess Kali. Now, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that was just a concoction by this dacoit. And others also do it. You know, they offer what they call a man to goddess Kali in order to get some benediction, or in some cases to eat the flesh. They're called Purusha Adha, cannibals, eaters of men. But, you know, Srila Prabhupada said that is a concoction. And it's something only those who are in the modes of ignorance would do, like these dacoits. So, you know, they prepared Judd Bharat to offer to Goddess Durga. Of course, Durga is an energy of Krishna. Ultimately, she's a servant of Krishna. So she understood that this Judd Bharat was a devotee, so she wasn't going to allow him to be sacrificed. And actually, she burst out of the deity form to which the dacoits were going to offer Judd Bharat, and she killed the dacoits. So, further along in the fifth canto, there's a chapter about the description of the hellish planets. And one of the verses mentions that those who engage in this Purusha Medha, this human sacrifice kind of activity, they will be sent to a hellish planet, they will be attacked by rakshasas who will cut them and drink their blood. So it's not something, although it's mentioned here, it's not something that's really approved in the Vedic culture. So we also see, yeah, there was something like this in the Bible. You know, Abraham was tested by God, asked him to sacrifice his son, so he was willing to do it. But at the moment he was going to do it, an angel came and stopped him, and you know, he was informed he was just being tested. So this Shuna Chepa was offered, or was going to be offered, be substituted for Rohita, you know, the son of Harish Chandra Maharaj, in this sacrifice. And it's interesting, the term Shuna, the name Shuna Chepa, was applied by Hiranyakashipu to his son, Prahlad. Shuna means dog, or of a dog, and Chepa means tail. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking about his son Prahlad. You know, I'm trying to give him a good education, train him to be a proper Rakshasa or Asura demon like me. But no matter what I do, he always snaps back to this being a devotee of Vishnu. Because the idea is that the tail of a dog is curved, and you may try to straighten it, but as soon as you let it go, it curls up again. So he said, my son, Prahlad, he's like a Shuna Chepa, tail of a dog, because he keeps going back to Vishnu no matter what I try to do to straighten him out. So in a sense, we should also be Shuna Chepas in that sense, that no matter what anybody may try to do to persuade us otherwise, we retain our identity as devotees of Lord Krishna. We always snap back into position. It's kind of interesting, these the demons, the asuras, in one sense, they're good examples of what's called positive thinking, you know, out in the world in terms of motivational speakers. You know, let's have a positive self-image. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes that Ishvaroham aham bhogi, Siddhoham balavan sukhi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect. I am powerful. I am happy. Very positive self-affirmations. Huh? But the devotees of the Lord are taking a different position. They are thinking, I am very fallen. If I'm able to do anything, it's only the mercy of my spiritual master, of Lord Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya, of the Vaishnavas. I'm full of faults. I'm so imperfect. I'm so incapable. I can only be an instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only if I get the mercy of Lord Krishna, the mercy of the previous Acharyas, the mercy of the Vaishnavas, am I able to do anything. I'm not the controller. I'm not the enjoyer. I'm not perfect, powerful, and happy in the material sense. So, anyways, Hiranyakashipu was trying to educate his son in those principles of asuric life, but you know, he kept, like the Shuna Chepa, the dog's tail, curving back to his identity as servant of Krishna. Jivara Srupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. We are, by our constitutional position, eternal servants of Krishna. So, I thought we'd finish this chapter. Text 33. Ye madhuchandaso jestaha kushala menare natat ashapatan muni krudho mlecha bhavata durjanaha. Translation: when requested by their father to accept Sunachepa as the eldest son, the elder 50 of the Madhuchandas, the sons of Vishvamritra, did not agree. Therefore, Vishvamritra, being angry, cursed them. May all of you bad sons become lechas, he said, being opposed to the principles of Vedic culture. Purport. In the Vedic literature, there are names like Mlecha and Yavana. The Mlechas are understood to be those who do not follow the Vedic principles. In former days, the Mlechas were fewer, and Vishvamrita Muni cursed his sons to become Mlechas. But in the present age, Kali Yuga, there is no need of cursing, for people are automatically Mlechas. This is only the beginning of Kali Yuga, but at the end of Kali Yuga, the entire population will consist of Mlechas, because no one will follow the Vedic principles. At that time, the incarnation of Kalki will appear. Mlecha Nivaha Nidane Kalayasi Karabalam. He will kill all the Mlechas indiscriminately with his sword. So that will happen at the end of Kali Yuga. In this part of Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya has appeared, and he has appeared to kill the Mlecha mentality of people by the weapon of the holy name, the Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadai Yajnai Sankirtana Prayar Yajante Hu Sumeda Saha. Lord Chaitanya appears in this age along with his associates to spread the Sankirtan Yajna, and intelligent people in this age will take advantage of that and worship the Lord by the congregational chanting of the holy name. And in doing so, they become freed from their Mlecha mentality. They kill the Mlecha tendencies within their hearts and awaken their dormant Krishna consciousness. So text 34. When the elder Madhuchandas were cursed, the younger 50, along with Madhuchanda himself, approached their father and agreed to his proposal. Dear father, they said, we shall abide by whatever arrangements you like. Text 35. Thus, the younger Madhuchandas accepted Sunachepa as their eldest brother and told him, we shall follow your orders. Vishvamrita then said to his obedient sons, because you've accepted Sunachepa as your eldest brother, I am very satisfied. By accepting my order, you have made me a father worthy of a father of worthy sons, and therefore I bless all of you to become fathers of sons also. purport. Of the 100 sons, half disobeyed Vishvamitra by not accepting Sunakshepa as their eldest brother, but the other half accepted his order. Therefore, the father blessed his obedient sons to become the fathers of sons. Otherwise, they too would have been cursed to be soulless mlechas. To become sunless mlechas. So we also see this in the example of Advaita Chandra, who had 6 sons, 3 of which were Vaishnavas, and 3 of which became deviated into Mayavadi and Karmakanda activities, and they were rejected by him. So, in discussing that example, you know, Srila Prabhupada has said we should become like the good sons of Advaita or the good sons of Vishvamitra and obey the orders that are coming down through the cyclic succession. Text 36. Vishvamitra said, O Kushikas, descendants of Kaushika, this Devarata is my son and is one of you. Please obey his orders. O King Parikshit, Vishvamrita had many other sons, such as Ashtaka, Harita, Jaya, and Krachuman. Text 37. Vishvamrita cursed some of his sons and blessed the others, and he also adopted a son. Thus, there were varieties in the Kaushika dynasty, but among all the sons, Devarata was considered the eldest. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports in the 9th canto, 16th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Parasuram Destroys the World's Ruling Class. Any question or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.